Yeah, we want to conclude the series on Ephesians. I know the Sunday school, at least the class that my wife, that Lori's helping in this morning, they're going to be talking about Saul's helpers, and Saul's helpers put him in a basket and let him down over the side of the wall. I know that because I'm sleeping with the Sunday school teacher. So, and this morning I want to talk about being brothers, fellow ministers in the gospel, carrying the gospel together. As we end this part on Ephesians, the last couple of verses, I'm just going to read the slides are just verses going through, about five verses, and I don't want to take long with them, but just I'm making a point here this morning, so just bear with me. If you want to turn in your Bibles, or you can just watch on the screen, put up the next slide. We're talking about Ephesians chapter 6, verse 21. 22 in there, it says, so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. Amen. This beloved brother, who most of us have never heard about, Tychicus. I don't know about you, but I've probably read this name many times, but it didn't ever jump out at me. But I knew I had to focus on this last final greetings, as Pete has said all morning. Where is God bringing us? What's he taking us to in this book of Ephesians? And I believe he has a point he's laid on my heart that he wants to conclude with, and it ties in with what we've been praying with this morning. Go to the next slide. Let's just look. This is a bit of his history. This is the first time that he shows up in Scripture. And there he spent 3 months. He's talking about being in Greece, back in Europe. This is Paul. And when a plot was made against him by the Jews, as he was about to set sail for Syria, he decided to return through Macedonia, go all the way back through Europe, Albania, Serbia, Kosovo, whatever. And he names these people, Sospater, the Berean, son of Pyrrhus, Timothy, and the Asians, Tychicus. He's named there again. And they went on ahead and were waiting for us in Troas. So this is like some years ahead. It's the first time we've met him. Paul's on his third missionary journey. He goes, collects this whole offering, as Romans says in Romans 15. So we're talking about 56, 57 AD. And Paul's made this amazing journey, and all hell broke out in Ephesus, and they've all gone over to Troas, and they're making plans what to do. And Paul takes this guy and talks about this guy, Tychicus, again, and he joins with him. It's the first time we read about him. Next slide. Where I was reading in that last one in Acts is where Ephesians 6, chapter 6 fits in, just so you know. Just stick with me. I got a plan here. So this slide, Tychicus will tell you, this is to the Colossians now, and it's about 60 AD, it's some years later, and here's this guy again, and he'll tell you about my activities. He's a beloved brother. He was faithful minister, a fellow servant in the Lord. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are doing, and he may encourage your hearts. It's almost the exact same words as Ephesians, if you were paying attention. Now let's go to the next slide. He's writing, this is years later again, 64 AD, sometime later. The first group of writings that in the Ephesians and Colossians, Paul was in house arrest. He had been sent from Caesarea. If you go in the book of Acts, you'll see it. He got arrested. He was in prison in Caesarea, and he appealed to Caesar. So they send him off to Rome. He spends a couple of years in house arrest. But now this letter to Timothy and to Titus, he's in serious prison. These are the coming closer to the ends of his life. And he says to in this verse, when I send Artemis or Tychicus to you, do your best to come to me. And we see this guy just keeps showing up. That's what the point I'm trying to make. And it's always in difficult circumstances. And he's a faithful brother. I'm sending so that you can know how we are and that he will encourage you. Good words. And then one more verse. It's in Timothy, and this is getting to the end, 2 Timothy. If you read, you know, that whole book, he's prepared to go to heaven. You know, he's ready. And he's sending it from the Roman prison this time. He's in chains. This is the end of his life. And who's he got to help him? Here's old Tychicus again. You're going to get sick of that word. But I'm making a point. So those are the verses that we read about this guy. And I've never really spent a lot of time thinking about him. But it's like, here's a guy. Let me just stick to my notes. You never hear of him in Scripture ever preaching or doing a miraculous sign. But because of him, the church thrives. It spreads across the world. This guy is an amazing assistant to Paul. He's an encouragement. He's a brother. He's faithful. He's a minister. And you just keep seeing him showing up. You know, Timothy is the more famous. He wrote the book of Timothy and Paul's son in the faith and all these things. But this guy, probably from Turkey, around Ephesus, that's what they call the Asians, that part of the world, and he just starts being a brother and a faithful minister with Paul, and he's always there. He's there to the end, and that's all we read about him. So what's my point? Here's where I'm trying to get to. You can go study his life, do a word study, look him up, follow the whole history through the book of Acts, Romans, what they were doing, and how God just used these mighty men of God. But this guy never preached. We never read of him preaching. We never read of him doing amazing things, except he took the letters that we are actually still reading today to deliver them to the church. He was faithful. Whatever was needed, he stepped up and did. And I think you know where I'm going to go with this morning, in the house of God. What's the difference a couple thousand years later? What's the difference with them and with us today? Nothing. The same point, the same message, same carrying the kingdom of God. We need the Tychicuses of the world. Amen? So that's for free. Now, let me tell you what I really want to tell you this morning. So as we conclude Ephesians, so what? Because of the amazing gift of God, we are chosen, predestined us to be adopted as his sons, into this amazing family. He lavished his love on us. You remember all the sermons and the grace on us through the blood of Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins. We have a new identity. He made us part of his body, the church. He empowered us to live a life worthy of our calling. How to live as husbands and wives. We talked about marriage, how to obey and honor parents, and to be parents. We talked about that. And then last week, how to put on the armor of God and be saved. All these amazing theological, doctrinal, living truths. So what? If it doesn't translate into a faithful life, into a church faithfully serving God, into a family, into a father, into a mother, into people who serve the kingdom of God. What's the point of all this amazing truth about Jesus and the forgiveness of sin and the power of the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit to empower us to live worthy lives? Not like the Gentiles, not like the blind wandering around. We are those who have a gospel message to take to the whole world. So what's the use of knowing all that if we don't do it? That's my point. God, help us to live this out in 2026 in a church setting. You know, the church is out there, but it becomes visible in the local church when we come together. This is where this stuff gets tested, where it gets proven through worship, through praise, through unity, through standing together, the things that this whole letter has been about, bringing together this body that serves the Lord. And Ephesians gives 7 pictures, and I don't want to preach all that stuff again, of what the church looks like. And if I get to it, it'll be to talk about the body, to be talking about how we encourage each other, how a family works, all these things. But let me just come back to, what's the point of preaching all this stuff, of knowing all this stuff, if we do not live it out? Amen? And I'm talking to the choir. We're living it out. We can do better, and I'm going to tell you how in a minute. But God, help us. The end of all the preaching, of all the, you know, Paul writing this letter to his beloved friends and sending people across the world. Go look at the map from Rome to Ephesus to back to Jerusalem, where these guys traveled for years. Paul spent 3 years in Ephesus, and these guys were faithfully serving God together. And we're left with this message. He will bring you this letter. He'll tell you how I'm doing, and he will encourage you. I just love it. I love that picture. So what's the point of all this amazing stuff? I've already said that a few times. I know I got about 3 bottles going here. And, you know. So here's my second question. First question was, what's the point of all this studying if we don't live it out? We must. Here's the second question. What would revival look like if you had your way? And I've heard a few people praying this week about revival, praying for revival. What would that look like if God answered your prayer? And I bet if we had 10 people, we'd have 10 descriptions. You know, a long, loud church service. Yeah, I love church service. I spent my whole life. What do you think I've done for the last 50 years? Church service. I love it. I love when we worship and we pray. So don't hear what I'm not saying. I love that. I love when worship just lifts the place and God is glorified. Is that it? Is that revival? How about an all-night prayer meeting? I got a whole list here. But here's where I'm coming to. How about loving your wife? Parenting your children. That's where Paul's taking this thing. You know, all this love and lavish and power and the Holy Ghost and Jesus and the church, so that we can have marriages that are healthy, we can have homes that are healthy, we can have the armor of God to live out a Christian life. That's what it's leading to. That's the point. So we can have a healthy family, so our marriages can be strong. That's revival. Training up our kids. You know, I can't leave this point. I got to stick with this one for a minute. I found it interesting. I ended up praying with 2 or 3 children, some of my own grandchildren right here. And every one of us is a child of somebody. But we've been saying it. God's been emphasizing our children the last time and the importance of them. And we've made that a priority. And, you know, reaching and keeping and blessing kids. We put a lot of money into it and ministry time and value it. And Candace and the team and all the things. So here's my... On Friday night, we showed up here to just finish a few things before the ladies' tea on Saturday. And the Lighthouse guys were here, Toby and Larry and Drew. Bethany is part of it. They were here with the kids. They had just ended, and they're cleaning up. And I just thought, here's Tychicus. Here's the people. They're not preaching. They're not loud. They're not up front. They're not hollering. But they are taking the kingdom of God forward. It's evangelism. And, you know, this is where I have to guard my heart when I'm speaking here this morning, because we have, Lori said, if I say this, I have to say it with tears in my eyes. I'm trying. I think of all the babies. I think of stuff. No, really, really, really. I was holding my grandson this morning. If he was here, I'd take him right now, because that would get me teared up this morning. We have prayed. How long? This church has been going 15, 16 years, whatever it is, for our kids. And we keep talking. I don't want to overemphasize this thing, but let me just kill it and then I'll move on. But we have prayed and we've seen this bubble that's coming, this bubble of young kids, and we're preparing for them and getting going. That's why we have Lighthouse. That's why we have these things. But here's the point. It won't happen unless the parents make it happen. Unless you bring your kids. Unless you invite. And I want to just put out a shout to Don and Lisa. They brought the name. They drive from downtown. They go to Argyle someplace. They pick up amazing children. They drive them here because they love kids. And they love the ministry. And they love what's going on. And I'm telling you, you want to talk about a Tychicus. You want to talk about a brother. You want to talk about an encouragement. You want to talk about somebody who's ministering. That's it. What does it look like? So I'm saying, you know, we prepare this place. We have this amazing facility. We have spent hundreds, millions, whatever dollars over these years. Bring your kids. And I know they need soccer and they need all the things and they need it all. Just prioritize Jesus. Okay, I vented. When parents are weak, children are weak. Amen. I already used my quote. We don't want to transfer this crap onto our kids. We need transformation. We get free, they get free. God help us. And it's a lifetime. I'm not talking up here like somebody who's fixed this thing and got it figured out. It's like it's a lifetime of walking with Jesus, saying, kids, forgive me, leading them in the things of the Lord, training them, discipling them, raising them up, serving the house of God. So enough about kids. If we don't deal with our demons, they'll raise our kids. What doesn't get transformed gets transferred. If we bury our issues rather than reveal them and deal with them, we will pass them on. So, what's the point of all this Ephesians stuff? How about living a healthy, holy, happy life in a church family? How about having a healthy family? How about fighting for a healthy family? How about fighting for your marriage and your husband, your wife, your spouse? How about grandchildren? How about the next generation? What are we doing all of this stuff for? It's to be faithful in the kingdom of God. Amen? You've all gone quiet on me. It's okay. I needed to get it off my chest. Man, let me do this positively. Tychicus. Here's a true story. There's a young family here, Russell and Helen, and this guy, and that little girl. Russell always reminds me, I'll stick with you guys, okay? Because I'm going to go all over the place. He reminds me many times of, I don't remember it, taking his face in my hand, in his face in my hands at a soundboard or something, and you should actually be giving this testimony. And encouraging him. He's just a young smoking guy, interested in Helen. Anyhow, so here's a short version. They served God in that church back in Pretoria for years. I always said, if you ever want to know anything about the church, ask Helen and Russell. They knew everybody. They served everybody. Then, when it came time for planting here, who put up their hands? Helen and Russell. And Yulani, who's here visiting us with us. Perfect timing. I could name Carl and Mean. Carl's with his grandkids in BC today, but Mean. People who'd put up their hands. I want to say my own children, Melanie, Nicole, Matthew, Kyle. What I'm trying to say is it cost lives to plant this church. And you say, old men, they just dream dreams. We're always talking about the past, but it's okay. We have a history. It cost our lives. And we're not saying it sadly, but it's like Paul said, I'll gladly lay down my life. I didn't throw it away. I gladly laid it down. We gladly made choices. I may look stupid, don't say amen, but I'm not. It's a choice how I'm spending my life, how we're spending our lives. And I just want to bless families who are doing that. And, let me come over here to you. It's easy to talk about people far away. Herman, we'll forget about him. But Yulani, because I heard yesterday you were talking to the ladies about saying yes. When God calls, just say yes. I can remember both these families back in the day, and Carl and Mint and the others who just put up their hand. They actually scared me. It's like, yeah, we want to go to Canada with you. And I'm like, I'm not even sure if I want to go to Canada yet. But just willing to say yes to Jesus. Amen? And now I see your beautiful daughter, next generation. I see her in your clips, worshiping God. There is no greater joy in a parents' life than to see your kids serving God and your grandchildren serving Jesus. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
And it comes from being a beloved brother and a faithful minister, being faithful to God and to his kingdom. And that's what the book of Ephesians ends with, reminding us the point of us coming together in unity and worship and building up the body of Christ is that we take the gospel to the ends of the earth. We live it out here, it's real, and we share it to the ends of the earth. And you say, well, I'm not going to the ends of the earth. Well, then go from Argyle over to wherever and bring someone to Lighthouse on Friday night. Pick up someone on Sunday, bring them, invite them for coffee over the week. I don't know. I don't even want to start naming things. And I'm speaking to the choir because now you've started something. I've got to start going through the list here. Let me go through the list. Russell and Helen, Carl and Min, Nicole and Brad, Melanie and PJ, Matthew, Herman and Yolandi, Jenny, Suzanne, Marcy, Selma, Brad and Jen, Candace and Eric, Les and Ingrid, Toby and Larry, Jeremy and Rowan, Corey and Rachel, Teresa and Dan, Kay and Tommy, Victory, all those who are praying with us at 6 a.m. in the morning, every morning, people from all over the world. That's my point. Tychicus was from Asia, Turkey, around Ephesus. He's over in Europe, in Macedonia, that whole side over there, Slovakia, wherever, whatever names they are today. These men were, women were moving around for the sake of the gospel. To preach, to bring the good news, that's why we exist. That's what I'm trying to say here this morning. That's why, you know, we have a ladies' tea. You ladies don't need more tea. But when you come together, and I start naming people, they bring their co-workers, and they bring their neighbors, and they bring their family, and I read the text of how amazing it was, and how much joy and what in their life. That's why we do this stuff. That's why we come on a Sunday and we worship. That's why the worship team practices. That's why, because they want to be faithful brothers and sisters serving the kingdom of God. And I'm saying be part of it. Don't be a spectator. Don't sit back and like, I like this quote. We believe we have something to do for our justification and nothing to do for our sanctification. Wrong on both sides. There's nothing we can do to be justified except to accept Christ and be washed in his blood. But when it comes to sanctification, we have lots to do. He says, sanctify yourself, set yourself apart, walk in holiness, live a godly life. That's what Paul's saying about Tychicus. I knew I'd get it wrong one time. Tychicus. That's what he's saying. This brother will encourage you. So let me ask you another question. Who are you encouraging? Whose arms are you lifting up? Are you the one that's always just on the edge? You're the one that's waiting. You're the one that's, I'll see if it fits, if it serves me, if I can make it, if whatever. I don't even want to use terms. Are you a Tychicus? Are you the guy who the church can depend on, who Paul can depend on, who we can depend on, who God can depend on? And he's faithful and he will encourage you. This verse just came to life as I'm reading, and I was like, oh God, help me. What is this? What's got life in here? It came to life in that if the church is going to be healthy, if the church is going to go forward, we need everybody serving and living and practicing the gospel that Jesus has put in them. It's real. And here's the other side of it. When I was talking to Lori about this, we cannot force anyone. It's freedom. That's the beauty of Christ. But it cost him everything. Freedom's not free. It cost everything. And we have that opportunity, we have that privilege of saying, Lord, here I am, use me. Say yes. Say yes. This young lady right here leads hundreds of volunteers in kids' ministry now. Come on. I could give you so many examples. This young man, young, leaves tomorrow for South Africa. He's going to preach in Grant Askham's church and the Bridge Church next Sunday. We want to send him with a blessing. Go and encourage the brothers. Take a letter or two. I don't have letters, but tell them my wisdom as you get there. What's the difference between what we're reading in the scriptures and what we have been called to live out, to encourage one another, to bless one another, strengthen one another, pray for one another, make the church alive. Otherwise, let's quit reading this stuff. Let's quit doing series. And I'm free to say this stuff because even this morning I just felt, you know, I said to Peter, I don't think God's done setting people free. And I mean it. And I love that when God just has his way and he moves and people get encouraged. And again, we cannot force anyone. But there's an amazing life in God to live if we just say, yes, Lord, here I am. Use me. Take my life. We sang all the songs. My whole life I lay it. You're a liar. Yeah, I'm talking to me too. That Grant always used to say, Christians only lie when they sing. Think of the words we were singing this morning. Just as loud as we could before God. And then it's like, okay, woo. Those are pretty strong words. I laid my whole life down. And I appreciate that, Larry. Bring what you have. Bring whatever. Like you say, oh, well, I can't do much. Okay, let me end this. Talk about a body. We are the body of Christ. Even in Ephesians, he talks about that. Every part, important. Each part, you know, supplying the need of the other part. Remember those verses? You know, there's parts of our body. I was thinking about, because how much thought have you given to your lymph nodes today? Nothing. But when they don't work, I'm just laying there in bed trying to clear a lymph node, get my nose cleared out. My sinus is doing the... When they don't work, you think about them. But how important is every part of this body? And Nicole spoke about it when she talked to you young men being here worshiping Jesus. She named people. I can't even... Dan and Teresa, Selma. You know, you talk about church planters. Selma's a church planter. It's like every part of this body. And Ephesians probably will end sometime. Maybe we'll just carry it on a little longer. Every part of the body supplies something to the other. And as like Tychicus, he never preached, as far as we know. He's not a big, you know, Stephen raising the dead kind of guy, speaking miracles and wonders and being stoned to death. We just read of this faithful minister, brother, who will encourage the church. And that's my call to you this morning. That's, I believe, what God is challenging all of us on, whether it's to lead your family. Let me just remind you, to lead your kids, to lead your family in the things of God. I got one statistic here. Let me just go back to it. I hope I can find it. Here it is. When a mother comes to Christ, her family will join her only 17% of the time. When a father comes to Christ, his family will join him 93% of the time. So, can you just be that brother? You say, well, I can't do a lot. Lead your home. Raise up a couple or three normal, almost normal children. You'll have done an amazing thing for the community. Serious. Join a church. If this isn't home for you, that's fine. There's lots of good churches in the city. If this is where God calls you, knits you in, then I'm saying knit in. Get in. Get involved. Get part of a body. Bring what you can bring to supply the needs for the rest of the body. Use your talent. Use your gift. Whatever it is. Tychicus carried letters. He shared the good report about Paul and how he's doing. You know how important that is? Russell, come here. I could bring half the church up here. What Nicole said about encouraging and what it means, this guy and his family and his wife have blessed me. I could spend a whole morning on it. If there's a guy who I would trust with my life, and he keeps me out of jail with the accounting and the bookkeeping, and my personal taxes for years, with my life. Has he let me down? Yes. Have I let him down? Yes. But this is a Tychicus. This is an encourager. We sent Helen and Russell and their kids to Stellenbosch, and we gave them, I don't know, 7,000 or 10,000, some thousands, 15, yeah, whatever, to bless that church plant in Stellenbosch. We're apostles, baby. What's the difference? It's just because somebody decides to be a faithful brother, beloved brother and faithful minister. Trust them with our kids. These guys used to look after our kids in South Africa when we would do big, powerful apostolic trips. And to see them get blessed with people willing to care for their kids now as they travel, it's just it's the fruit of God. Amen? Just the kingdom of God doing what the kingdom of God does. So I bless you and I thank you. Keep encouraging. Keep strengthening the brothers. Don't you ever quit. And I could tell lots of stories about him in the city, in churches, outside of us. How many churches do you help with their financing? How many? Only seven. Come on, get busy, man. What's wrong with you? So, I said enough. What about you? You. What about you fathers? Here's a smaller group of fathers over here. Grandfathers. Who is God calling you to encourage, to hold up their hands, to stand with? Starts with your family. Starts with your spouse. Start with your kids. And then it goes from there to the kingdom of God. How many? How many is God looking for? Oh, and the answer is all of us. We all bring something. Can we do better? Yes. Yes. We're called to live out our lives, out our salvation out loud, put into practice what we believe, back up our confession with our lives. You know, I could talk about the ladies' tea yesterday, setting up those of us who did. The ladies who brought food, who served. I don't know how to say it without... Stuff does not just happen. Poof! Oh, there was a nice tea. People served. People cared. People ministered. Everything to do with... Anything to do with a church, a life group, a worship team, a kids ministry, everything. It takes everybody stepping up, getting involved, do something. So I talked about a body. All parts supply the needs of the other parts. How important each is. And the last thing is family. The unity, love, the roles fulfilled. Not about one being more important than the other. But in a family, husband, wives, children, functioning as God intends them to. And that's a picture that Paul uses of a church. It's a family. And you got the weird uncles in a family. And you got the dads that lose it over sometimes and need to get a smack. And you need, you know, family's family. And it gets messy. And the idea is not to go find a new family. Because wherever you go, there you are. That's it. Deal with your stuff. Ask God for transformation. Or you just carry it along. To pass it on. Are you done? Okay. They got something sneaky going over here. I'm getting a little nervous. Maybe I need to keep preaching for a while. How important is your life? Your life. We thank God for a family that says yes to Jesus. We miss you guys, lots. I like to see Herman singing in his bare feet. You know, these guys made a dress code so he couldn't play in his bare feet anymore. Sorry. That's an inside story. How important is each one of you to the kingdom of God, in the family of God, in the body of Christ? God, help us to be that beloved brother, faithful minister of the gospel. Amen.